That's what God did to his church at Pentecost. I want to turn back to this text, Acts chapter 2. We all know these events, but there's always things to learn. I want to just read Acts chapter 2, 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem all of these other Jews. I won't go down through the long list, but if you were actually had a map in front of you and you looked at all of these people that are described, the Midians, the Phrygians, the Cretans, you'd see it's like a spoke of a wheel, 360 degrees around Jerusalem. From every direction, the Jews and people had come back to Jerusalem for Pentecost. And then they hear this mighty sound coming from the building where the 120 disciples are, and they are gathered to that noise. That holy sound calls the world, and who could believe it? The disciples come out, and they're speaking all of the languages of the world. And what do the people hear? Cretans and Arabs, all of them, they said, "We hear them speaking in our own language the wonderful works of God." On Pentecost, 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit came just as God had promised and changed everything. And most importantly, he changed his church. And the way he changed his church was he changed each individual believer. He changed each individual believer. At Pentecost, God changed you if you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says in verse 1, at Pentecost, the time had fully come in. Isn't that interesting? I mean, it's kind of a strange way to start out. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. What does that mean? Well, Pentecost was one of the three of the most important celebrations in the old church, the old Hebrew church, the Old Testament church, had three great festivals. The first one was Passover. You remember Passover? That's when the people were in captivity in Egypt. And the last of the great plagues was the angel of death killed all of the firstborn. All of the firstborn. And the only reason the Jews were spared was because God spoke to Moses and he said, "Tell them to take the blood of the lamb and put it on their doorpost." And the angel of death passed over their homes. And so the first great festival of the old church was Passover. Another great festival is the Festival of Tabernacles or Festivals of Booths. But the third festival is called the Festival of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover. Now, these are moving feasts. That's what they call them, feasts or festivals. They move throughout the year in the Jewish calendar, but ours are pretty well anchored because Jesus fulfilled all of the worship of the old church. And all of the festival remembrances of Passover was fulfilled on Easter when Christ, the perfect Lamb, gave his love and gave his blood for you so that the angel of death will pass over you and you may have eternal life because your sins are forgiven. In the Jewish church, the Old Testament church, 50 days after Passover was the festival of It's Festival of Harvest in the old Jewish church. It was the harvest festival. It's when the first fruits of the harvest were dedicated to the Lord. And God chose, after Easter, of course, Jesus rose again on the third day, presented himself to the disciples, on many occasions, Luke says, through many irrefutable proofs, it's unquestioned that Jesus arose from the dead. At one time, he presented himself to 500 people. But 50 days later, on Pentecost, God poured out his Holy Spirit, just as he promised he would hundreds and hundreds of years before, in the speaking through the prophet Joel. Remember we read earlier in the service, Joel 2:28, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God's work to prepare his disciples was complete. He says the day of Pentecost had fully come. In other words, this was the true Pentecost. Finally, after almost 2,000 years of Old Testament festivals and worships and sacrifices and everything in the Old Testament religion pointed straight to Jesus Christ. Everything pointed to the salvation that he brings. Everything was completed in Jesus Christ. Everything was fulfilled by God. And now finally, just as Jesus told his disciples, just as the prophets had told the people before, which they could not understand, on Pentecost, finally, the true Pentecost had come. The day that God had always said would come had come. He poured out his Holy Spirit into the lives of all believers. And you see how dramatically this changed everything. Because in the old church, the people didn't have the Holy Spirit. For all those thousands of years, God's Holy Spirit worked through one man or maybe one woman, Deborah, the judge. God's Holy Spirit worked through Moses, worked through Abraham, worked through the judges, worked through the kings, as long as they were good kings and didn't grieve the Holy Spirit. And they led the people. The Holy Spirit worked through the high priest. The people couldn't speak to God themselves. They spoke to the high priest. The priest interceded for them with God. The people couldn't make their own sacrifices. They had to come to the temple, and the priest would make the sacrifices. God would speak to the priests, and then they would speak to the people. Everything changed on Pentecost. Just like that car we talked about. Now, God is in his church. He is in his people. He speaks to you. You don't need a priest to know what God wants you to do. God, if you know Jesus as your Savior, he told us in John chapter 7, Jesus said, whoever believes in me, out of him will come rivers of living water. And this is the Holy Spirit who each one will receive who believes in me. Every believer in Jesus Christ, you have God living in you. The Holy Spirit guiding you, teaching you the truth. And you can speak to God all day, every day, anytime. But this was a process that God had worked through the old church for those thousands of years. And this is the day Pentecost had fully come in. God had prepared those disciples. They were the first fruits of the church after Jesus Christ. He's the first fruit in heaven. They were the first ones to receive the Holy Spirit. 120 men and women. The Bible tells us that these men and women were with Jesus from the beginning. When Peter had to find a replacement for Judas, he could go to the 120 because they had been with Jesus from the beginning. The Bible tells us in Luke 23:49 that they, even though they had been scattered on Good Friday evening, they had come back together to Jesus on the cross. Luke 23 says that the 120 were gathered at the cross watching their Savior die, listening to the Lord as he spoke his final words. All of this was God's preparation for them. They had been planted in the world. God had planted his word in them. That word had come to fruition. And now God was ready to give birth to his church. At Pentecost, we also see that his whole church was united. They were together. It says here in verse 1 that they were all of one accord. That means their heart and minds were all the same. And they were all together in one place, which they needed to be. Or at least God wanted them to be, so he could pour out his Holy Spirit on them all at once. But let's go back to that first phrase, they were all of one mind. In that congregation, they had one thing on their mind. And this is so important because this is what God does in his church. He wants us to be of one mind, and that mind is on Jesus Christ. They weren't focusing on programs. They weren't thinking about getting a bigger building to meet in. They weren't thinking about redecorating. They weren't thinking about singles programs. They weren't thinking about vacation Bible school. They had one thing on their heart and mind. Jesus has died for me, and he's risen from the dead, and I've seen him, and he lives, and he's gone to heaven. And that was on their hearts and mind. That was everything to them. And they were of one mind. And they received the power that Jesus promised at Pentecost. God's Holy Spirit made them a new people. God changed his church forever. The question I think we need to ask, because we're not those 120, we're some 50 or more, 2,000 years later. The word has also been brought to us, and we know the truth. And the Holy Spirit is working in this congregation as well. But we know, and this is true of every congregation, every true congregation of the Lord always has men and women and young people in it who have not yet received Jesus Christ as Lord. Some of them, the Holy Spirit is just starting, like that car alarm. The Holy Spirit's starting to work in their life. You know, and they're running to hear what's going on, what's wrong, what do I need to fix in my life? And they've come to hear the Word of God so they can sort out and get that alarm to stop. The Holy Spirit's working in their life. By the way, on Thursday at our youth group meeting, one of our young men came to the Lord. I'll break down crying here in a minute if I'm not careful. You know, we're talking about how we're talking about how in Revelation chapter 3 Jesus knocks at the door and asks to come in, and I asked, is there anybody here who hasn't asked Jesus to come in? You know, we had the painting there, and I showed him, see, there's no doorknob on there. You've got to open the door. He knocks. But you've got to open the door. Has anybody not asked Jesus to come into their heart? And one guy I could see looked away, and I said, do you want to ask Jesus? He said, yes. I explained to him again a little bit about the gospel and the law and what it means. And I said, do you want to ask Jesus to be your Savior? He said, yes, I'd want to ask him to come into my heart. I said, I explained to him some more, a little bit more about it, because I don't want to make sure I'm not pushing him, you know. And I asked him a third time, do you want to ask Jesus into your heart? He says, yes. So all of us young guys, me too, we all went up to the altar rail and we prayed with him and he received Jesus. There are people in the church, adults too, some, who've not yet asked Jesus into their heart to be their Savior. That means they don't have the Holy Spirit yet. The Bible says to have the Holy Spirit is to have life. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have life. A lot of people don't want to be changed. They want to continue to put the gas in by themselves. They want to continue to drive the car where they want to go. But you know, we need to each one, even as we talk to friends perhaps who are not saved, we need to tell them of the great gift of the Holy Spirit. To have the Holy Spirit is to have life, to have new spiritual life. It's the Holy Spirit who gives you that elbow in the ribs, which enables you to turn away from sin. Without that Holy Spirit, without new spiritual life, you cannot turn away from sin. You don't want to turn away from sin. It's the Holy Spirit that changes each new person. He gives you new spiritual life to begin with, And then he works in your life every day, sanctifying you, changing you, making you more holy. Oh God, help us to walk in your grace and holiness every day. We prayed that. That's the Holy Spirit who does that. Do you want that? Do you want strength so you can turn away from sin? You can only get it in one place, from God. When you receive Jesus as Savior and then you receive the Holy Spirit, you will be given the strength to turn away from sin. You won't be perfect, but he'll keep elbowing you right up until the end. But he'll also do this as you come to Jesus and you say, "Oh Lord, I'm sorry." It's also the Holy Spirit who says to you, "Your sins are forgiven. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Word." You know what the Word said? God says your sins are forgiven. That's the Holy Spirit who gives you that faith and assurance. As we talked about last week, it's the Holy Spirit who gives gifts, not to just pastors and not to just some alone. The Bible says everyone who asks Jesus into their heart as their Lord and Savior receives a gift. The old Greek word was charisma. Charis, a gift of grace. And God, we remember from last Sunday, God not only calls us, but expects each one of us to use whatever gift he's given us to serve his church as the church battles in this world to save souls. One reason only, to save souls. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Our children are sealed, adults too. In baptism, the Bible says, God puts his mark on you. You're his. Does that mean you're saved if you're baptized but you're an unbeliever? No. But it's the assurance of God. He's never going to give up on you. His Holy Spirit will always be working to get you to repent. We know that you're saved by faith alone. But God says through baptism, his Holy Spirit seals you as God's own. The Holy Spirit helps us pray. How many people have difficulty knowing even what to say to God? Well, many of us do at times. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, not only does he call you to pray, not only does he help you pray, but actually while you're praying, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is also praying for you. He's praying for things you don't even understand and know that are going on in your life. God gives you this assurance. God tells you that the Holy Spirit lives in you, and you now, you are the temple of God. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? That he lives within you? Dear friends, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And he is the one who guides the church so that they may have one mind and be of one heart. And that one mind and one heart is to do exactly what Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit was going to do, and that is to glorify God, to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, to proclaim salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we see in this reading from Acts chapter 2, as God poured his Holy Spirit out in the church and changed everything, not only were the people given the ability to share with people from different languages, but listen to what they said in verse 11. We are hearing them speak in our own languages. And what were they speaking? They were speaking the wonderful works of God. That's the message. That's what the Holy Spirit created the church for, not for anything else. This congregation here in Roseau exists to proclaim the wonderful works of God. What is that? That Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, that God loves you so much he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Your message, from God Himself, the Holy Spirit working in you, your message in Roseau and in the world beyond, is that Jesus Christ is your Savior. If you've got one thing to tell them about Roseau Free Lutheran Church, it's this: Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We worship a risen Savior. He died for us, and we're going to heaven because our sins are forgiven. That's the message. This is a glorious thing that God has done. Do you know that's what people want to hear? People don't join churches because they've got a good program for youth or a good program for singles or a good program for whatever. Lost souls especially, they come to church because they hear the good news and they hear the wonderful works of God and they see in your life what a difference God has made. And they say, I want some of that. Where do I find that? Well, come with me. I'll show you. It's here in God's church. Wonderful works of the God, of our God. That is the message of the Holy Spirit. And this is the work that Jesus said the Holy Spirit was sent to do. And He sent His Holy Spirit to work through you. Through you. Because you are the new church. Everything has changed for the better. Praise His holy name. In response to